The Arab Spring took the world's news media by surprise. International reporters scrambled to cover it. But no one could match the on-the-ground presence of Global Voices. That is a citizen media organization made up of more than 300 bloggers, editors, and translators around the world who keep tabs on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and blogs, and are ready to report when ordinary people become citizen journalists, as they did throughout the weeks of the Arab Spring. Ivan Sigal is Global Voices' executive director. Anne Strainchamp sat down with him.
One of the stories running on Global Voices this morning seems to me like a good place to begin. It's pointing out the contrast between how news of Osama bin Laden's death is being reported today versus how 9/11 was reported a decade ago. It seems like there's been almost a sea change in how we get news, who reports it, and to whom.
I absolutely agree with that. The way that the news is being reported today is shifted to a large degree from a one-to-many communications model to a many-to-many. That's had a large impact on the way that we produce and receive information. In a nutshell, it's moving from news as an event or as a product to news as a process. And that process involves the audience as an active participant increasingly and as a producer of content as well. And it's compelling and interesting that the first person to have produced content about the bin Laden assassination was actually a Pakistani man who happened to be living nearby who tweeted the evidence of the helicopters.
It seems to me that there's something you get as a reader from reading a series of live tweets or from a blogger's on-the-ground reports that you don't get in a more traditional news story. I mean, for instance, what were you running on Global Voices, or what have you run from this guy in Pakistan?
In our case, we pulled a compilation of his tweets into a story as an example of where the sources. But we do that all the time. I mean, the Global Voices function is to curate and aggregate and amplify the most interesting conversations wherever they're occurring in the digital media space, in the citizen media space, if they're on blogs or if they're on microblog platforms or if they are in social media. And if you take a look at the coverage that we have had throughout the Middle East, this kind of immediate reporting or event-based tweeting or analysis on various media platforms, user-generated content and otherwise, have been a staple of what it is that we're working on.
As you say, your organization, Global Voices, is a big piece of this change, sea change, in the ways we report news. What, or you know, maybe more importantly, who is Global Voices?
Global Voices is a community of volunteer writers and translators and all over the world. Roughly 450 people at present, who collectively analyze, aggregate, translate, and amplify the most interesting conversations that they find in their local media, in their local citizen media explicitly. Conversations that are occurring in local languages, local dialects, local contexts. And the typical Global Voices contributor is multilingual and is able to look around the social media world in which they live, and they tend to be, and most of us are quite savvy in the social media context. Many people come to us as bloggers already and are able to say, this story is really interesting to me, and I see in the international mass media that it's not getting the kind of coverage I think it deserves, and I want to do something about that. So a story from Tunisia in the Tunisian dialect that exists in a closed Facebook group or is written in a dialect the larger Arab world, for instance, can't read, your Global Voices author will take that content and explain it to the world. And then we do that ad nauseum. And that serves as a citizen media newswire in a way.
How do you vet your stories? How do you decide which stories are legitimate, which bloggers and which voices to trust?
The purpose of the Global Voices platform is to amplify conversations. And from the perspective of verification, the first order of magnitude is transparency, is to say what we know and what we don't know, where we got the source, where it came from, and the limits of our knowledge. So it is often the case that perceptions generate stories, and generate energy, as we've seen in this country from the persistent misunderstandings of, for instance, President Obama's birth certificate. And even though a story may be false, it's still potentially news. And what we'll try to do is to describe how that conversation occurs. Or if it's true, obviously, we're amplifying the knowledge of its truth to the extent that we can. But let me give you a completely different example from a few years back. There was a coup in Madagascar, and we had a small community of writers and bloggers that we'd been working with there that had focused primarily on environmental information. When the coup occurred, there was no foreign press. There was one reporter for AFP there for the first 2 weeks of the events. And these citizen media activists and journalists wound up becoming the primary source of news for, especially for the French language, and then eventually as it was translated into the English language mass media. So that's a really great example of the amplification role. When you found that suddenly Radio France International was interviewing a community of people who they would not have known existed several weeks before, and we helped to bridge and bring people closer. It becomes easier to find those voices. It becomes easier to understand where they're coming from. The context is already provided. That's the way we work around the world. So if next month there's, God forbid, there's another coup somewhere in, say, who knows, in Mexico or something like that, we'd have a community of people who we could activate with knowledge of the social media world around that issue.
Well, so for example, you've got bloggers and editors who've been, of course, deeply involved in the recent protests in the Middle East. One of your editors is based in Bahrain. Give me a sense of what Global Voices has been reporting during this whole Arab Spring.
The first element of verification is that all of the people who write for us are known and trusted. They're already very often deeply embedded within the community of social media writers and activists. And so at the first order, they're relying on the people that they know, and they're following people that they know. And then in the way that networked media work, I have a relationship with a community, and that community is intermeshed with other communities. And so information flows across those links. And what we're doing in the Middle East is we're following the threads of those degrees of separation and pulling together ideas and stories in that way.
But is there a risk, especially in countries in which there are active protests and revolutions going on? How do you know that a blogger is not a government plant or just a fake?
Oh, there's always a risk, for sure. And the purpose is not to say that the information that we are sharing is absolutely the truth. It is to say this is the dominant conversation that's occurring in a place at a given time. And we often very closely analyze the question that you're asking us. So our purpose is to try to bring some clarity to that space. Part of our website is called Global Voices Advocacy, that focuses on freedom of expression issues and digital activism. And we're routinely writing stories about government efforts to intervene or co-opt or subvert social media conversations. So there's no silver bullet to fixing that. It's a matter of monitoring, understanding a conversation, understanding who's active in that space, understanding who's trusted, and reporting on those voices. And you can do that if you are known and if you know who is busy in that space. You see clusters of public relations-focused material, whether in the U.S. or in other countries, of people who are trying to change the conversation, behave differently online. They focus on very narrowly on a particular subject. They tend not to have very strong conversational links with other more organic users of the web.
They're not as messy.
They're not as messy.
That's how you tell whether it's real or not. Real life is messy.
This is a question that every journalist now has to deal with as well, as part of the research and part of the work, because mass media are also increasingly relying on social media. And I remember the first time that conclusively clicked for me when I watched the BBC cover the Iranian Green Revolts of 2009 in exactly the same way that the Global Voices was doing stories. And I thought, wow, the BBC has now adopted our style. That's telling. But of course, they went back to doing their own work after a few weeks, and we've continued to do ours. So they haven't made us redundant.
Ivan Zagala is the executive director of Global Voices, and Strange Champ spoke with him.
قال لك ايه قله مندسه اضحكوا يا ثوره.